Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being here for our Level Up Academy podcast. It's been a hot minute since you've heard my voice. Well, no, last week you did hear it. You're going to hear it consistently from now on. I have tried to pivot and change in terms of my information. You're going to see a difference next year. I'll be intentional in every quarter and every season. If you have any questions, you can always email me at lua@levelupbydrleland.com or just levelupacademy by, oh, I'm sorry, levelupacademy@gmail.com. Okay. Now, so today's topic is really important, not only because my sister and I are doing a book, okay, guys, a published book about belonging. The title is Against the Grain, Finding Belonging in the World of Resistance. Now, if you're interested and said, you know, this really calls out for me, just email me, just DM me, or go to susannadonwriter.com, click on services, and you'll see it right there with all the details, how much, when are we going to do it, what is going on. And we have our second Zoom on the 16th. And if you're on LinkedIn, that's where I hang out, go ahead and find Dr. Constance Leland and Susanna Dawn. So you will find us there. We live on LinkedIn, literally. Okay. So today's topic is about that belonging. Now, belonging is crucial in business and professional life because it fosters a sense of inclusion, trust, and collaboration, which is essential for both individual and organizational success, right? Because we're all working, whether you're working for yourself or you're working for somebody else. Now, when employees feel they truly belong, they are more engaged, more motivated, and committed to their work, leading to an increase productivity and innovation. And also, belonging also enhances resilience and adaptability as people are more likely to support one another and face challenges together, like Susanna and I do. Now, in a diverse and inclusive workplace, or friendship, or business partnership, a strong sense of belonging bridges the differences, allowing each of us to bring, as individuals, our unique strength to the table. So what does that do? Ultimately, it's a driving business growth, right? Because it's creating a positive work culture, positive friendship engagement, and that attracts and retains top talent. In this case, circle of friends. Now I'm going to introduce to you Susanna Dawn. You guys are pretty familiar who Susanna Dawn is in my life. I'm going to introduce to Susanna Dawn, but also really in a conversation of what does belonging really means to her. Sister, take it away.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, sis. And I'll just say up front to spell my name is Susannah. Don't forget the H. Belonging. Belonging is that ability to walk into a space and feel safe. Feel safe enough to drop those masks that we're always wearing. Because how often do you walk into a workplace, walk into some environment, and you're hiding whatever it is that you're afraid other people will find out about. It's not safe. So when you walk into the space, when we can drop that mask, when we feel that there's not going to be any judgment within that space, it's more of a place we belong, and it's a space that we can engage deeper. Because when we're wearing those masks all the time, everything that we're looking at, everything that we see with people, we're only going to engage superficially. It's hard to have that deeper conversation, to be able to talk more about you and them when you're hiding something. You're worried that if you let something slip, they will change how they deal with you, how they talk to you, or walk away. That is not a space of belonging. Too many workplaces, just like CJ said, too many workspaces, that is what they do. You walk in and you can't do anything but keep the mask on because you don't feel safe. You're doing the job, but quite frankly, a lot of people will end up in that space. They'll spend part of their time a lot of their energy maintaining the mask, they're also probably going to be looking for the next job where they can feel safe because they're not safe where they are. And I can talk business cases on that as well. But belonging is that environment of being open. And for too many of us, something happened in the past that basically closed us up. And until we had awareness that we could take back control and we could be our authentic selves, we were stuck.
That is so true. Thank you for actually adding to those thoughts and feelings, because we are living in a world where we need to actually look in instead of look out, right? When you want to explain about your own emotions and whether you're angry or sad or rejected or love and happy and cared for, you have to own your emotions. I think more often we only own our emotions if we're happy, but if we're sad or rejected, we point fingers outside instead of looking in. We need to take those buttons. Now, I want to go back to, I'm an academic, so I'm going to go and talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and look at Maslow. He's a psychological theory theorist. He developed Abraham is his name, right? I love Abraham Lincoln too, but you know, when I talk about him, he basically says places belonging as one of the core needs that motivate human behavior. And I really love to study human behavior as well. And belonging appears in the third level of that hierarchy, right? Following the psychological and the safety needs, belonging is the third one. It indicates that our basic survival and security needs are met through all of these hierarchical things that they have, right? The desire to form connections and friendship and relationships. These are our essential human basic needs. So, how do we understand that? First of all, you probably don't really think that way. You're like, I just want to feel belong, but you didn't even understand that there is psychology behind everything that we do. Physiological needs are needs to survive. You need food, you need water, you're hungry, you need shelter, roof over your head. Maslow basically says that is a physiological needs. That's the very basic needs as a human being that you need, period. You need to meet that need so that you can move on to the next one, which is safety. And that literally is about stability or protection, right? And security. For you? Why do you lock your doors? Why do you have cameras outside your doors? All of these are what? Security. Secure your own. The third one is what we're going to talk about today, which is belonging and love. When you don't feel love, you don't feel accepted, you don't feel like you belong. Okay? Relationships, social connections, friendships, and family. That is where we're going to talk about and we're going to take this conversation, right? Because belonging and psychological well-being are like salt and pepper. They are together. When people feel the sense of belonging, they often experience feeling of, I'm sorry, if they don't feel like they belong anywhere, they often feel loneliness. They isolate themselves. No one understands me. No one gets my problem. We get into that. Even depression, guys, right? And that's real, real. Belonging fulfills our innate need to connect others. That's why, COVID was really bad for us and for our kids, right? Because it's an innate human needs that we have to fulfill, the sense of belonging, right? Fostering feelings of acceptance, love, and support helps build that belonging needs. You know how we have like build your self-esteem? We're trying to build your belonging ideas and thoughts. That's what we're trying to do. Now, family and close relationships. Now, family, sometimes you'll hear like blood is thicker than water. True, but some of your blood are toxic. So you're like vomiting all this negative energy. Your body's tense. You know, you're always sick all the time. You get headaches all the time and you're like jittery all the time. You're tense. You're pacing yourself and you're wondering, why am I like this? Well, look at your environment. Who's triggering this response? Our body is very smart. It's smarter than you. Because you're in denial and your body's telling you, F you, CJ, this is what you're putting me through right now. That feeling, that gut feeling that you get, that is part of your belonging. When you don't feel 100% you and comfortable with your own skin, your mind, and your heart, you'll feel that tension. When you go into the Zoom room sometimes and you see this person that you don't even know, but you just don't like for some reason, your gut feels weird. It has this churning feeling. Your heartbeat kind of palpitates sometimes and skip a beat. And your facial expression will show that of disgust. Right? You're like, it shows that. Because why? You don't feel that you belong in this space. Your body is telling you, get out, right? So work in community environments, belonging in that workplace, right, significantly impact your motivation and your well-being to produce. And sometimes we have our own motivation. We have our own motivation. I ask my students, what makes you motivated to come to school? What makes you motivated to go to work? It's always about their family, their well-being, their safety, their needs, because we as a society says it's normal for us to care about others. But if you care about yourself, you're a narcissist. You're selfish, right? How are we supposed to care about others when our gut is turning and turning and turning and turning? And then by the time you know, you're like, yeah, I have IBS, I have GERD, I have, all of these things because your body is sick and tired of you. You're being toxic to your own self because society, psychologically, human behavior tells you you cannot be visible of taking care of yourself because you are not made for that. You're made to take care of others. We all expired people. We will someday, if it's not today or tomorrow, someday soon you will. But do you really want to live a life to your deathbed, wishing and wishing and wishing that you could have grace to yourself? Do you? If this was in your lifetime right now and this is your bed, do you really feel like somebody, one person, accepts you for who you are, not what you are and what you can do for them, and just be you? Ask yourself that, right? Sister, any addition?
You hit so much of it, that the family, so many of us, when we try to be our authentic selves, it clashes with the family. And many people, they try to hide it then. And quite frankly, trying to hide yourself because you don't feel you belong. I said it before, you spend energy on the mask. But like CJ's saying, it's affecting the body. It's affecting all of you. That's why sometimes you can walk into the doctor's office and go, I feel this. And the doc's like, I don't see any reason why. I'm not seeing it. And, but you're experiencing it. It's real. The experience is real. Our experiences for each of us is our reality. So when you're in a toxic environment, it's going to affect us a lot of ways. When you finally are able to move beyond that box, to move into a space where all it takes is one person who accepts you for you, who you are, you feel like you belong, that's all it takes for you to suddenly start feeling better, start feeling calmer, start feeling like you don't care what others think because you're getting that validation that you are who you are supposed to be and were created to be.
One person you think that it's not going to help you, but it really does make a huge difference. And you don't need validation from a million people or 2 million people, right? You just need one person to truly believe and see who you are. And that's why connections is important. When the next time you connect with people, truly connect with them and see if you're in an alignment. You and I have been deleting connections on LinkedIn because they don't serve our mission. They don't serve our true self. And that's okay. There's no, we're not saying mean things or bad things about them. It's just that our core values is pretty resolute on where we need to be. And if we see some type of behavior that they might not be ready yet, right, to belong to our community of leveling up, we'll circle back when that time comes. And some we probably would never circle back, right? And that is the challenges to belonging people is there are different factors, right? For me, a lot of my factors is cultural displacement. For immigrants like myself, having minority backgrounds, cultural differences can make it challenging to feel accepted in this new environment. My personality, it come off strong, but it saved me in so many ways. It really did. It saves me from heartache. I never really, I actually thought about it, like, why do I, maybe I am probably autistic. I don't know. Because honestly, I don't really, I care, but I don't. I really don't care what people will say or what the outcome of what I'm about to do, because it lives in my head. And I have this feeling that if I don't apply, I even thought about it. My girlfriend was like, "You're an applied doctor. You're not a theorist. You don't live in theory." And I'm like, "You're right. I am an applied doctor because I love to test that theory if it works and if it doesn't find solutions. I really want to focus on solution, 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 because you cannot grow wallowing and pitying your own past. You cannot go back to your past. You cannot control your past. It is called the past. Literally, when you're driving, right? Can you turn around on the freeway, people? No, you have to go exit to turn around. Think about that. Okay? You have to exit to turn around. That means you need to take a pause before you can turn around. Some people, it means pausing to learn from your what? Feelings, emotions, rejections, happiness. So you want more of it. Some of us are kind of glutton for punishment. We like challenges and we're like, okay, this is a challenge I'm gonna be. Until you're like, you know what? I'm losing a lot of blood here. I'm kidding. I'm hitting my head a lot with this big rock. And I always wonder why I'm losing blood. But I think I realize I need to put this rock down. That does that make you stupid? No, because that is your journey. Yes, the actions that you're doing are stupid, probably, right? But that doesn't make you who you are. Don't let your past define you. Don't let your moment of weakness define you. Find your true core, right? And yes, your cultural displacement is hard because it's ingrained in you. However, there's also social anxiety or mental health. People with social anxiety, I have some friends have that, and mental challenges to find it difficult from connecting with people, right? Like I have my best friend back in college where I met her in the bathroom because she was throwing up. I thought she was pregnant. She was pretty. I was like, ooh, that's a drama, like in my head. And I felt bad because she's like really just vomiting. And I was like, girl, did you drink too much? She's like, I don't drink. And I'm like, are you pregnant? And I don't know this lady, okay? And she laughs, she's like, no. And I was like, uh-huh. She's like, no, seriously. She goes, I have anxiety public speaking. And our project is 60% of our grade. And I have to go in front. And I think I'm gonna faint. I just can't. I said, I got you. She looked at me like, who the heck is this person? I said, I got you. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, come on, let's go to class. Just wipe your face and brush your teeth or something, and then I'll see you in class. And she went. So before she came in, I already talked to the professor. I said, listen, I know we're not supposed to be in a group, but she's not feeling well. And I know her. I don't know her. I know her, and I know that she's gonna present her things, but I'm gonna read her paper because she doesn't feel good today. Is that okay with you, professor? And the professor's like, go ahead, CJ, it's fine. I'm like, so long as she can answer the question when I ask it, I'm like, oh yeah, she can answer that. But she doesn't feel like presenting today. So I'm gonna present hers and mine. I'm not integrated. She goes, do you need more time? Because you're presenting first. Because I always volunteer to present it first because I want to get rid of it. I'm like, yeah, put me on like the fourth. I read her paper. She's lucky I can read fast. And I integrate her things to my things and I present it. And we're still friends still today. I'm still godmother of her, all of her kids. And she's like, oh my gosh, that saved my life. I thought I was going to fail this class, period, because she has social anxiety. It's not okay to judge people because you don't understand them. It is not okay just because you've been doing it and you've been thinking the same way you've been thinking because it's passed from generations to generations. Part of your growth is to pause. Just because it came from all your great, 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 great grandparents doesn't mean you should continue the behavior that hurts others. It is not okay to feel like you have to push your friendship because you are trying to accommodate. I would rather you not be my friend than to pretend to be my friend because you want something that I have. Right? Because it affects people's mental health. It doesn't matter how strong the person is. I'm human. I get affected by it too. Another thing I wanted to talk about is workplace discomfort and disconnect. You already work remotely. I work remotely. I don't know about you guys. So the lack of inclusive practices can make each of us feel isolated. How are you supposed to be productive? So you have to really trust your people that they're going to do the job that you gave them. Right? Here's the thing with that. It's two-way street. I get to evaluate you because I gave you my trust. If you ruin my trust, there is no going back. But at work, you have to give them time because the communications, especially if you work remote, is different, right? What are some of the challenges of belonging that you have seen, sister?
So in the workplace, I've talked about some of them in terms of being in the physical workplace, because even in those situations, I had difficulties myself having that engagement because of walking in with a mask. In terms of being away from others, in this case, being a solopreneur, but you still have to find people to work with. You still have to have those connections and find ways to have meetings, to talk about opportunities, make a plan. Sometimes it can be hard because you end up having to do a lot of it on your own instead of being able to, because we can't Zoom all the time. So that's going to limit how often you can get together and go through stuff together. And for some of us, that actually stimulates having that other person can stimulate ideas, whereas others are going to be much more comfortable in that environment and coming up with ideas and then see if the meshes start bouncing the ideas off each other, take the separate pile and put it together, kind of like you collated up papers. And having those relations, and then you're separated, yet it's also finding people within the community that you can connect with and talk with and figure out who you can start finding a space to belong with, because you don't have to stay alone. You don't have to stay in one place trying to do it all. And we can't do it all anyway. I mean, that's why companies have multiple people, departments, teams, groups. You do stuff together, not alone.
I love it. There are times that you have to do alone, but most of the time, if you feel isolated, you should definitely reach out, right? These are some of the solutions that I offer before we end this podcast today. I have some solution. Family and close connections, encourage open communications with your friends, quality time with loved ones, have a conversation, have dinner, right? Family tradition, sometimes a regular check-ins with your friends reinforces that strong family bond. Some of my sisters become my family, Susanna and Danielle, right? Community and workplace, create those interactive, diverse spaces where people feel seen and heard, right, and valued. How do you do that? I don't know, highlights their accomplishments when they're in work, even though they're remote. You could probably put it on the website. Go do some, email to everybody. We're saying, congratulations, Susanna. This is such a great job, right? Little things like that matters to some people, right? And it helps them boost that self-esteem at work as well as in being inclusive. Friendship and social networks encourage connections through hobbies and interest and community activities. Like, we don't just talk about books here with Susanna. We talk about makeup, we talked about skincare, we talked about movies, we talk about music, we talk about nonsense, then we talk about our family and our feelings and our emotions, and we talk about the law, we talked about the presidency, we talked about a lot of things. That doesn't mean that you're friends for books and you only talk about books. That is how boring is that, right? We couldn't do that. And then self-acceptance and growth is really my last thing, right? That's part of the solution, is that you need to be able to, for you to basically belong to a community, you need to have self-acceptance. What are my strengths and weaknesses? What can I provide the community? Now, it's not about like, okay, don't be an only child syndrome. That's what I have before. I'm learning compromise, guys. I'm learning. Talk about, self-acceptance and pursuing that self-development. Get to know yourself. What are your triggers, right? Have therapy session and also have activities that foster that self-esteem, because it really can help you feel more secure in your relationships. And when you have conversations, it's okay to have disagreement, but don't take it to disrespect. That's all. Any last minute ideas for you, sisters, in terms of solution?
Everything you just talked about, I think actually that very last one, being able to disagree and don't take it to disrespect. Don't be mean. Don't have a disagreement that turned into you pounding on somebody else, and you go from what was a friendship to essentially something that's more like bullying. We belonging is absent of bullying. So that would be kind of one of the last things that I would add to that. Be respectful, agree to disagree if that's what it is. It doesn't matter how far. And remember, if you think about it, you may have that disagreement and you think, oh, this means we have nothing in common. Then, if you would take a step back and go, but we have this and this and this and this and this and this and okay, is that one thing really a deal breaker? And if you think about it, if you have to talk about it, maybe you just need to do it in minion language.
And we're going to talk about that next week, or the week after that, in terms of meaning and language. So, thank you so much for your time today, guys. I do like to end everything with a quote. So, sister's going to give me a quote in a minute. But I'm going to tell you about a powerful quote in terms of pride, because I think pride is the answer to all of our issues. We have so much pride. I have pride too. Believe me, I do. When I need help, I don't ask for help because I'm so prideful. I do, right? But Albert Einstein said, Once said, I should say, the only thing more dangerous than ignorance is arrogance. Keep that in mind, people, right? That is something that I keep in mind, to stay grounded, to stay humble, to have humility. And because I'm an only child, I'm always used to bulldozing ideas like my way or the highway. But I've learned in my marriage of 21 years, I don't know if we're going to make it to another 21 years. No one is going to know that. But what I've learned is that compromise is something that needs work. And compromise doesn't mean that you lose yourself. Compromise just means that you are, it's a win-win for both parties, right? And sometimes that win-win might be something that is uncomfortable and bruised your pride. However, if it is for the betterment of the community, for the bigger picture, for the kids, for the friends, for the project, swallow that pride like it's potatoes with lots of yummy cheese in it and just eat it up. That's all I'm saying, right? Thank you guys so much. And I want to end this with a quote with my sister, Susanna. What is your quote, sister?
I'm going to take one from General George S. Patton, where he was talking about, and it's popular. I have heard other people say this too. It's like, don't speak ill of any man or anyone. If there's nothing good to say, keep still. Too often, we don't need to gossip. We don't need to do anything else. Just if you don't have anything good to say, zip it.
Or maybe we'll start handing out a crazy glue. That's like you can take it out for a while and you're forced to listen instead of talk. Oh my gosh. Bye, guys. We will see you next Friday. Thank you guys so much for being here. Bring those curiosity in. Be safe. Wash your hands. COVID is still here. And please, please take care of yourself. All right. Love you guys. See ya.